Birmingham. Brother Cecil Everett come to his nephew here tonight, Brother Danny. Brother Cecil has some charts. Whatever happened to him, me and Danny don't know, but they were quite large on canvas, and he was hanging them up there and had a stand, if I remember, to roll that thing down. But he had one of the tongue. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And as I remember the picture pretty well, it was evidently done by somebody very talented to draw this thing. But it shows the profile of a man with that long tongue sticking out. It's very impressive. You can imagine that's been at least, I say, 70-something years ago. I was about probably 7 or 8, but I remember it so well. And they're preaching on the tongue. So tonight, let's talk about the tongue. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Let's think about that. If we can control our tongue, we can control everything else about our body. Able to. "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, and are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever they govern the listeners." Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. You ever seen anybody did that? They brag and they brag and they brag and they brag and they boast and they boast. "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, a world of sin. So is the tongue among our members, it defies the whole body. You ever wonder sometimes, maybe why your friends don't want to come around anymore? Maybe it's because of what you say. Maybe it's because of your tongue. Maybe it's because you're bragging. Maybe because they just don't want to hear it anymore, you know? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It defiles the whole body. "Setteth on fire the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and the things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." He said, well, I can relate to that. I know of people that just poison their life with their tongue. That's right. You know, years ago, up here on this highway, we had a brother get killed in a car wreck early one morning. His name was Sam Hester. And I spoke at Brother Sam's funeral that time. And I used that scripture where it says, "Study to be quiet." Sam was a very quiet man. And I think, as I think about him, he didn't have to think about being quiet. He was just quiet. The Bible says, study to be quiet. So think about being quiet. You ain't got to talk all day. Let somebody else talk. Give somebody else a turn. Study to be quiet. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is among our members that defiles the whole body. Defiles our body. People don't want to be around us. They don't want to hear it. It's just not enjoyable, is it? What we think they want to hear, they don't want to hear. Defiles our body. Full of deadly poison. That's what the Bible says about our tongue and what it can do. "Therewith blessed with God, even the Father, and therewith cursed with men, which are made at the same of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing." And then he says, my brethren, you brothers, these things ought not so to be. Thine set forth the same place with water and bitter. And the fig tree, my brethren, where olive bears, neither vine figs, so can no fountain set both here salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man? Do you feel like you're wise? You feel like you're pretty wise? Pretty knowledgeable? Feel like you are? Who is a wise man that endue with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Sometimes we think we have arrived, don't we? We think we've reached the peak. We think people want to hear. Meekness of wisdom. We're wise, but he said be careful and have humility with your wisdom. You know, James says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but seeth his own heart, this man religion is vain, meaning it's worthless. He said, if you seem to be religious, but you don't bridle your tongue, you've got worthless religion. Vain religion. I tried in vain to save the man that fell overboard out of the boat. So you know I didn't save him, would you? Worthless. It's vain. It's no good. Get a man along, you say they're religious, but don't bribe his tongue. He has vain religion. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, our Lord speaking here. Speaking about desires and lusts and things that we may do. You have heard this in verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Wow. Jesus? If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It's profitable for one of thy members to perish, and not thy whole body to be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Okay? Cast it from thee. Profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not thy whole body should be cast in the air. What about your tongue? What about our tongue? Don't you think it means the same thing? Talk about your right eye. You're better off without it than offend you. If your hand offends you, you're better off without it. Hadn't you rather go to heaven? Hadn't you rather be saved one day? And without your tongue, you may well be. And you know what else? You may be lost because of your tongue. The book of Acts. In chapter 5, we read a sad story here. In Acts chapter 5, about a man and his wife and what happened to them. What happened to this man and his wife? And the church was young then, and there was in such need of help. And what was happening in verse, in chapter 4, we're going to read the verse. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Then said that any of them that ought of his things which he possessed was his own. Okay, you got possessions? And what did you say? It's really not mine. Neither was there any, verse 34, any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. Can you imagine doing that? You sell your house, you sell your land, and bring it to the church. The need is great. And distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph by the apostles were named Barnabas, which is being interpreted as son of consolation. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what do you think this would do to them? Probably encourage you with it. Probably encourage you. But something else can come in here. You know what it is? It's pride. It's recognition. And so, that's what happens right now. This man is wise. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold possessions. You get the picture. Man and his wife sold possessions and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. He brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, that wasn't all the money you got, Ananias. But you're saying that it is. You're saying that it was. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled that heart with the light of the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land? Why does it remain? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not of thine own? How that, why is that conceived, this thing in that heart? That's not light of the men, but unto God. Ananias, with his tongue, he lied. You ever lie? You remember when you were little, maybe, lying to mama or dad one? And you knew they knew. And you just sweating, so to speak. It's worded. Because you saw mama or dad one saw through your lie. That's a bad feeling, isn't it? Bad feeling to tell a lie. Here's Ananias. He sold this land. He brought part of the price. We say he sold for 10,000. He brought 5,000 there. Here it all is, Peter. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Died right there. And great fear came upon them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. In the space of 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yeah, so much. Peter said unto her, I said that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. She died too. Well, why? Tell me, why would you lie? Don't you think it's recognition? Don't you think it's pride? They want to have the same recognition somebody else had. Here we are. Here we are. We've done the same thing that he did. Why have you agreed? Spirit of the Lord. Behold the feet of them that bear the husband at the door and shall carry thee out. Her life is over. Remember what Jesus said? If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. What about that tongue? What about that tongue? Never, never lie. Back in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 15 and 4, it talks about a man that swears to his own hurt. He changes not. He swears to his own hurt. In other words, he will keep a promise even if it ruins him. Have you ever promised somebody something? Have you ever promised somebody something that would cost you? It's going to be your hurt, but you kept your word. You kept your word. You told and you kept your word. Are you good as your word? Your brother said to me when Pastor Brother Bass, a poor man only has his word. If he's not as good as his word, he don't have anything. A poor man only has his word. Let me say this to you. If you lie to somebody, they will remember that. They will remember that you weren't truthful with them. Always, always tell the truth. Remember what it says in Revelations? Who's going to be lost? This is scary. Very scary. Verse 8 of chapter 21 of Revelation. The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, well, it's a little white lie. It's not going to hurt. Yes, it is. It's a lie. It's not the truth. Let me say something else to you. If you exaggerate, you lie. If you exaggerate, that's not the truth. That is not the truth. Tell it like it is. What did Salvation Psalms? He swore to his own hurt. It might sound a lot better to tell someone, say, you know, we've got several fish that weigh at least 10 pounds apiece. What'd you weigh them on? What would it weigh them? How you know they weigh 10 pounds? Well, I don't know. Why'd you say that? You want to embellish the story? You want to make it sound better? Is that what we do? The use of our tongue. The use of our tongue. What about boasting? In Jude says this, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They speak great swelling words and tell great big stories and have somebody's person in that admire. Remember that time at football coach? Applied for a job, a head football coach, and got the job. Come find later, he had lied on his resume, and they fired him. That's right. I mean, big time college where he was going. But he didn't tell the truth. You know what he said? Most people do. They kind of embellish their resume. Most people do. In Galatians chapter 6, notice this one. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I should boast. Friends, I don't even like the word. You know, I'm proud. I don't like that word. Say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. God forbid that I should boast. I should glory, except one thing that we can glory, we can boast about. You know what it is? Something we had nothing at all to do with ourselves. Saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can boast about that because He did it. He died for me, He died for you, and I can boast about that. That He is my Lord, He is my Savior. God forbid I should boast about anything but that. Now notice what else it says. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world to me is dead, Paul says. It's not a thing I enjoy anymore. It's not a thing I love anymore. I don't love the world, things in the world. And also the world don't love me. What do we want Paul with us for? He's an old wet blanket. He's no fun to be around. He's gone off after Jesus Christ. Is your friend saying about you? They still enjoy having you around them, having your company? You join in with them? You join in with them? You laugh their jokes? whatever? Do you gossip with them? You ever gossip? You ever gossip? You ever read away in Romans chapter 1? You know, we talked a lot today about homosexuals. And we know that we are against that. I know I am. It's such a sin. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah. You read about them. Those men came, angels. And the men of the city round about Lot's house. About to break down the door. Oh yeah. Lot says, take my daughters. We don't want your daughters, man. We want those men. We want those men. So we read in Romans chapter 1. It talks about it there. Verse 26. For this cause God did give up to vile affections, even their women. It changed the natural use of them to that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, even the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. A man lusting after a man. Men with men, working out what is unseemly. Seemly in themselves, that recompense the error which was me. And even, they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispers, backbiters. Right there with the queers. That's right. Right there with them. The day I saw a sign, this guy had, I'm queer, I'm here, get used to it. Well, I ain't got used to it. That's right. I ain't got used to that. That's scary. That's very, very scary. So here we're talking about backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. Right along there, haters of God. Backbiters. You ever said this? I know I shouldn't tell this. You go right on into it. You don't slow down. You just got through saying you know you shouldn't tell it. You get on the telephone with somebody. Let me tell you what happened one time up there in Kentucky. His sister comes in, another sister. She tells us, other sister, you hear what so-and-so did? She said, no, I didn't hear it. I ain't gonna listen to you tell it. Right there in the meeting house. Yeah, right there in the meeting house, huh? Well, she just hear what she said. She turned and went and sat down. She did. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear it. I'm not gonna listen to you tell it. Why would you listen to her? Let's read the rest of the morning. Romans chapter 1. Without understanding, this is verse 31. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knoweth, look at this last verse. This is what's, it's very alarming if you're not careful with this one. Read what it says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you can't support that. You can't take pleasure in that. Absolutely not. Because you're just as guilty as they are. That's right. You took pleasure in it. You're a part of it because you took pleasure in it. Wild tongue. Think about what Jesus said, don't you? Right hand offends you, cut it off. Right eye offends you, plug it out. Corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to other hearers. May minister grace. Be careful in your words. I hate to see the letters OMG. You're cursing. You know what that means. I know what it means. I'm not going to say it. Even just use the letters. You know, God's name is reverent. God's name is holy. We want to always use His name with deep, deep love and respect. What a Father we've got. What a God we serve. He is so good to me. He's so good to you. Why should ever murmur and complain? That's the mess the tongue will do. You ever see people that complain a lot? Oh, I tell you this, I tell you that's wrong, and this and that, like going my way. The Bible speaks very much against that. Murmurs and complaints. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. We've got so many blessings. Corrupt communication. You know what the word gosh? That's the first one. That's short for God. G, that's short for Jesus. Gali, that means God. Great day, talk about judgment. All those words, be very careful what you use. Look about sometimes where they came from. Find it out. Find out where it means, where it comes from. What about a righteous tongue? What is a righteous tongue? You know, some people, they've got that righteous tongue. A word fitly spoken, Proverbs says, in due season, how good it is. Back many years ago, Sue's sister's husband died. 39 years old, had hemorrhagic fluid. Never heard of it since, never heard of it before. He had some kind of sickness, and fluid in his lungs, and all of a sudden these nodules burst, and he drowned. He's on the But anyway, he was 39 years old. And I remember going over to her sister's house that night. And of course, it was such a shock to Boston. They thought he's a good health person. This woman came in to Sue's sister. And you know, you don't never know what to say to people. But you know what she said to Sue's sister? I'm sorry. And I thought how fitting that was. Just a few words. I'm sorry, I love you. And that's what, to me, Proverbs is saying, that word fitly spoken. In due season, how good it is. Again, he says, the word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The word fitly spoken. And then it got to be a lot of words, you know? And then a lot. It tells us too in Hebrews chapter 3, exhort another day while it's called today. You ever exhort anybody? Have you? You're exhorting somebody tonight by coming and being in your services. That's right. You're encouraging somebody. You're encouraging each other. Exhort. Hebrews 10 and 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We provoke people to do good works and to love. And we want to do that. And we can do that with our tongue. You know, isn't it wonderful for your children to say, Dad, Mom, I love you. They don't know what it means. I guess they do. I guess they do. I guess they do. In Acts 20, and I'm fixing to close, Paul speaks to the elders here at Ephesus. And he said here, verse 26, wherefore, taking the record of this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare. declare to you all the counsel of God. Here, let me tell you something. Tell me now, while I got life, while I got opportunity about my life, if I need to change something, you tell me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to make me mad. I need to know. I may not realize it. I may not. It may be I talk too much. That's right. Tell me now. What's that song say? When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be, if any lost one there should say in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. Do you use your tongue for that? People you work with? Do they know that you are a Christian? They know you are a member of the church? Are you ashamed of the church? Are you ashamed that you are a Christian? Do you bring up the subject? Do you like to talk about the church? Do you like to talk about your Lord? Do they know you're thankful? Do they know you are so thankful to be a child of God? We've got so many blessings. Use your tongue wisely. And like I said, what I said to Brother Sam soon, study to be quiet. Think about it. Study about it. Should you tell that? Should you say that? Well, you know, yeah, I got to say it. Just be quiet. Study to be quiet. That's my thoughts for tonight. Hope it's been encouraging to you. And I pray that we'll all be quiet. That's right. And say encouraging things, uplifting things. Now, that's one thing we can be. We can all be an encouragement. We can. As we stand tonight and sing an invitation song, we can see somebody here to be baptized. To be born again. As the sister said one time, maybe I met the Lord in the water. Come tonight, confessing your belief by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, like the Internet did. I believe that. Repenting of your sins. I don't live this way anymore. I'm just not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. The death called me, the walks in me. Tonight you get to be baptized. Buried and baptized for forgiveness of sin. If you've done that, you've done it, and I will offer us a second round card. Come back, confess your sins. Come back, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Be humble about it, but do it. Won't you come together to stand and say?
Well, not-